Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this very special installment of the 100 Pockets Records podcast.
Ah, special indeed.
Special indeed. I'm Kurt Stein. With me is
Luke Lebecki.
And we are very, very proud to introduce this interview I did for Fever Pitch Magazine from February of 2004 on this audio tape right here with the world's greatest MC, the one and only Cool Keith, okay? Now, before we get into this, let me give you a little stuff. We're going to get some backstory, but first,
if you want... No, he ain't here. He ain't here.
Just shut up a minute. If you want to email me and talk about this, especially this Keith one, because it's so good, email me at kurt@100pocketsrecords.com. That's K-U-R-T, 100 spelled out, pocketsrecords.com. And check out our website, 100pocketsrecords.com. But 100 Pockets is going to take a back seat to the master, Cool Keith, today. Okay, so for me to get in touch with Cool Keith, I still haven't edited this down, so I don't know how much of this audio from the beginning of this is going to go on here, but there's about 10, 15 minutes of phones, beeps, and me calling random girls' houses to get a hold of Keith on the phone. And he will only be interviewed as the Reverend Tom, because at this time he was putting out, he does all those alter egos, and he had this great character called Reverend Tom. So it was explicitly told to me that I had to ask for Reverend Tom. I couldn't ask for Cool Keith. So I'm calling these girls' houses going, can I talk to the Reverend Tom? I'm like, who the hell is that? I mean, Cool Keith? Oh, Keith's not here. Where is he? I don't know. He's out with my boyfriend. Sometimes he's here. Sometimes he's not. That kind of stuff. So those ladies were nice enough to eventually point me in the right direction, and we got the Reverend Tom on the phone. Then you're going to hear Keith preaches the Reverend Tom and talk about being from outer space and harvesting bodies from graveyards for a little bit. He's going to talk about that. Also talk about taking over the music industry.
Yeah, very good examples of who is not human in the music industry.
Very good examples about who is not human in the music industry. Then he's going to move on to some interesting discussions about somehow Reverend Tom facade eventually drops about halfway through the interview, and he's just Cool Keith, and we are just broing down. And this is an hour-long interview, almost, and one of the best I've ever done in my life, okay? And again, I did this for Fever Pitch back in February of 2004, and at this time, I had two apartments. I was moving from one to the other, so a bunch of my friends were waiting because we were all excited about me interviewing Keith. I made them all wait in one apartment, and I sat on the floor of another apartment that had nothing in it. It was just me and this little tape recorder and this awesome, awesome phone conversation with, in my opinion, probably the world's greatest MC and weirdo on the face of the earth, Cool Keith. It's unbelievable. And he wraps up talking about, he talks about Eminem taking stuff from him. He talks about the state of hip-hop and the music industry. He talks about instead of hating on each other, we should start a rap and musician fight club. There is so much interesting information packed into this interview. I suggest you kick back, relax, and listen to the maestro, Cool Keith. Starting as Reverend Tom.
Who?
Starting as Reverend Tom, and then ending as Cool Keith, my hero. Be prepared to laugh and have your mind blown.
Yes, my son.
You got it?
Yes, I do.
This is the Reverend Tom.
Yes.
Reverend Tom, this is Bert Klein.
What's happening, my son?
Not much, man. This is Bert Klein, Jazz Vampire, calling you. I don't know if you probably heard of me. I'm a big celebrity. Used to work with Lionel Richie. Used to work with Michael Jackson.
Yes, Michael Jackson was in one of my video songs one day.
I've been alive for over 600 years, man, and I understand that you and the Undertakers are running a tight service for music people over there, and you also handle funerals. Is that true?
Yes, I do the eulogy for funerals. I do.
You do the eulogies. Excellent. Well, here's the deal. Being a vampire,
yes,
I like to, every couple hundred years, I put myself out for like a good 100, 200 years, take a rest, you know, wake back up, see what humanity is about when I wake up. I was wondering if you could deliver a eulogy and maybe hook me up with a coffin, someplace to rest for a couple hundred years. Is that a possibility?
I can't do that, my son, but what I can do is I can tell you the story of how the Undertaker is met years, thousands and thousands of years ago.
Take me back.
To the funeral director. Or if you don't know that story, let me know if you do know that story.
I haven't heard the entire story. I'd love to hear it from you.
Okay, we met in a galaxy far, far away in another galaxy that was not really somewhere you would say would be in a place humans would be able to transform to.
So you're saying the Reverend Tom in natural body form is not your natural form?
No, not at all.
Not
my
at all.
My form, you know, we have different forms from you humans. A lot of people don't really realize that when we came to this planet, we had to take up our human form because we had met someone in the government that directed us to one of his friends. I mean, one of his sons, which was in a mortuary. He was a pallbearer.
Yes.
And I'm sure you're familiar with the pallbearer.
Of course.
Yes. But getting back to the forms of basically what you asked. You have to excuse me, I'm a little bit under the weather.
No problem, I understand. You're busy, man.
I just performed the funeral 6 hours ago, and I still have not gotten my rest yet.
Oh, I totally understand. I can completely understand.
Let's move to a different, more important question right now with something you might want to ask.
Something I'd like to know is the beats on this album. When a space travelers come to Earth and decide to put out an album, how do you decide about picking a record label, and how do you decide about what to go with?
We go underground, just pretty much like we bury underground. We pick someone who is not so well known, but being well known out of the business.
Yeah. What's
so that this way, when we arrange a secret meeting through the pallbearer, these are connections to humans on Earth here. He allows us to meet the right connections and any connections we may need, that we may need to be just ourselves and unidentified.
Should the human race be worried about the Undertakers? Who
yes,
should be worried
should.
About the Undertakers?
All the bands, all the alternative so-called bands, like Marilyn Manson, isn't that from this planet?
I see. How about people from the school?
Alice Cooper is not of this planet. Kiss, what you call Kiss, is not of this planet.
So you're after to take out those bands?
Yeah. Also, Prodigy is not of this planet. There's so many bands that are alternative and goth that is not of this band, of this world. We're all competing for world dominance on this planet. Only thing that we're competing for Earth beings and bodies, and not their souls. We cannot control their souls, but we can control their minds and their bodies. So when you Earthlings pass away, we have to be able to take away your body from this planet. You know, when you leave a graveyard, you always see men standing around a great big hole. You never know what they're doing with that body, with that hole and that coffin when you leave the procession with your family. Do you notice that?
That's true.
That's because it is my people who are here, my soldiers, who are here, preparing that body to be taken back to our spaceships, to be transported back to other galaxies. Because the funeral director and myself, what we do is we sell bodies of different races and different beings of different planets to the highest bidder throughout the galaxy.
And what do they do with them?
They do whatever they please. We find that most planets have a delicacy for certain parts and different body parts of alien, human, or other. organic beans, and they do what they feel free. It's a high going, high market for bodies that are very much needed across the galaxy. People do not understand. Remember, you are an earthling. You do not understand what it is to be a human. You just know that you're human, you live, you die, and that's all you know.
What can you tell me about after I die? Can you give me any hint?
All I can tell you is that we dispose of your body as we feel fit. I do a special ritual over your body that somewhat morphically freezes your soul, mind, and body intact so that we can prepare you to be transported to another galaxy.
How long are the Undertakers on Earth? Do you have a scheduled time? Do you have to report back to somebody?
No, we're our own rogue. We're our own rogue group of morticians. There is none like us ever in the galaxy. After all, you know, when astronauts die on different planets and beings die, but when you fight them in another fight for world dominance or galaxy peace, you always wonder what happens to the bodies of these beings when they die. Don't you always wonder that?
Definitely.
Well, we're the ones that come and pick up the bodies in our rogue ships.
You must hate cremators then.
Yes, we do, because it gives us nothing.
Nothing to go on.
Yes, because that is the humans on this planet that does that, know who we are. And they know, whenever you find that that's been done, that's because someone knows and has suspicion of what we're doing with the bodies, and they cannot convince the government of what we're doing. So they take the bodies and they cremate them to keep us from transporting them to other planets.
So the only way to protect yourself from the Undertakers is to completely destroy your body after you die.
That's correct.
I see. Do you, what you guys do must, you know, you have to be pretty incognito to pull that shit off. Do you, why did you guys decide to start a music group as well?
Because we're the best at what we do. We're the best at taking bodies, disposing of them. We're the best at performing with bands, and basically, we have what you call a band, an orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And we perform with an orchestra to help us keep incognito. If you heard the album, you hear the violins, you hear the drums, you hear the pianos.
Definitely. I noticed timpani on a bunch of tracks. That's very cool.
That's because the funeral director guides everyone's on stage in a symphony situation. You have Andre 3000, who have stolen the funeral director's coffin. His DJ has stolen the funeral director's coffin, because that's where the funeral director keeps his turntables.
Andre 3000 has stolen his stolen the funeral director's coffin?
His DJ has stolen
his
the funeral
DJ
director.
Has stolen it.
When you see them perform, you see that coffin.
Yeah. You do, you're right. Do you guys
We were out before them. Somehow they gotten our what we have, and they try to take it from us.
But they're merely humans, right?
Huh?
They're merely humans.
They're nothing
compared to the Undertakers.
They're stupid humans. They're stupid monkeys. That's what they are.
And you know, lacking originality and stealing from stealing what they see as underground and exposing it to the masses.
That's correct.
Shooting you in the foot.
But they can't be us, because we're one and original. Our stage show is one and original.
Speaking of which, is there going to be an Undertaker's tour soon?
Yes, we're looking at late April, early June.
Late April?
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be a full-on stage performance, correct?
Yes.
Full-on stage performance.
Orchestra,
I heard I heard Party in the Morgue, which it seemed like a different track on the, compared to everything else on the album, seems to try to lure some of the younger kids in.
If yes, you, we have alternative gothic kids.
Has the record done?
I've done other projects on such like on Octagon and stuff like that.
Oh, of course, of course. Is there another Undertaker's album slated?
We don't know yet.
Don't know yet? Do you have a message for the people of Earth that I can speak to them?
As a matter of fact, yes, we do have another album coming out. Yes, we do.
You do?
Yes, and that will be a band.
Oh, with a live band?
With a live band. We're waiting for the funeral director to have that new band transported to this planet. They're on their way now. It takes a certain amount of time for them to get here.
That's amazing. I'm warning you. And you
think you've seen Kiss? You haven't seen this a new Undertaker band. Everyone in the band will have their own image and power.
That's gorgeous. That's gorgeous. So how many people are we talking total? Depends.
Five.
Amazing. Are you going to, I understand there's a remix competition out there for Party in the Morgue.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be one coming to you with accordion, clarinet, and some pretty creepy stuff. You should check that out and see what you think.
I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Yeah, I think you'd enjoy it. I think you'd enjoy it greatly.
The Undertakers love when humans participate in their music projects.
Because I've long believed in the entity that has moved through these different characters, such as, you know, Octagon and Doom and Tom and everyone else, is, in my opinion, and I mean this sincerely, the most underrated artist and poet of the last 20, 30 years, if not longer. And I think, and I would like to do anything I can using the magazine and record label we have to help promote, you know, more. I would love to hear more.
Well, the more we're going to give you is two more videos, a video game and a movie. That is really coming.
A video game, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It's in the works right now. You can speak to Jay Wasinski in regards to that.
Amazing. I did not know that. Do you,
The Undertaker is going to be the best and biggest band you've ever saw. It's going to be a taste in a different of music and goth and theatrics like never before. It's going to change rap music show-wise, and it's going to give every fan, every person who loves music, a change of music for life.
What's your opinion?
We're tired of just bands just not giving their fans what they want to really receive in a performance. We're going to give them everything. Stage show, music, product back, free.
Food?
Everything.
Everything you think of. What's your opinion of the state of hip-hop right now?
It's dead.
It's dead?
Very dead.
People
don't realize they're being deceived by songs that are not... They're all happy. They're like a bunch of monkeys jumping around with a banana while booping their way through the jungles of rap music.
When I talked to Chuck D, he told me that he said the black culture has been sold out, and that there's nothing left but entertainment, and they've totally stolen everything else and resorted it to basically minstrel shows, but instead of blackface, you've got bling bling.
He's true. I know Chuck personally, and I've met him on a few shows occasionally in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you, he is 100% right. That's why I said the music industry of most black rap artists are a bunch of monkeys jumping around by booping their way through the jungles without a banana.
Is there any up and comers that you do like?
is Mark Live.
Well, Mark Live's fucking awesome, yeah.
There's Jackie Jasper.
Of course.
There's Tim Dog. There's Ultra. And then there's Mo Love.
What's Mo Love been up to?
Mo Love has been making records and albums that are coming out real soon. Right now, him and the Ultra Magnetic have gotten back together and gotten about approximately 6 songs complete for the new album.
There will be a new Ultra Mag album?
Yes, that is really one coming.
Oh my God.
You remember the Four Horsemen's? Well, they took it to a whole new level, and Tim Dog is on a few cuts.
Oh wow! When you have, you know, one of the most
and that is a free exclusive.
Thank you. You have one of the most extensive rhyme schemes of any human being any being I've ever heard.
I'm not finished with being who I am and as many as I am.
And as many as you are?
I have 30 different albums. I'm the only artist in the whole rap industry, or alternative, or rock, or reggae,
mm-hmm.
or dance, or club music, in the whole business of R&B rap also. I have 30 albums. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Not all 30. I did not know that.
I'm going to take you there. Go get your pen. Do you have your pen handy?
Hang on 1 second. Take me there. Go for it.
www. KOOL. KEITH. .co.uk.
Ah, okay.
I want you to look at my photos. I want you to look at my albums. And then I want you to, and in that order, then I want you to go to forum. That is all the information you need for the rest of your life.
Beautiful, beautiful. Are there any of the Cenobites albums still available?
You go to that website, it will give you everything, my son, that you may need in life.
Tom, you're a beautiful creature. Beautiful
that is
creature.
The best gift you have ever gotten from me, ever. 1 minute I'm a cowboy, the next minute I'm a reverend. The next minute...
I love it.
Someone that's not here.
And there's no end to who you might become and what you might become in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought it would be beautiful to see you backed by a live band and actually get into some of the lovely vocalizing you do on a lot of your tracks. I would like to see you take the R&B game to rub their nose in the dirt.
I've already done those albums. When you go to my site, you will see them.
Beautiful.
They will go down the webpage for about 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And I have not won a Grammy, an MTV award, or any other Globes of any kind of... And all of these monkeys are stealing my style. Wigs,
agreed.
My capes, everything.
Do you feel truly, truly, truly hurt by that, or is it more rage?
It's more rage.
Because, man, I've been into you since
1983.
83? You came out?
1983.
How old were you?
I'm a timeless.
Timeless, I like that. Did you have any background in it? Did you just pick it up from what you heard? Or did you have... I know you're different, and I love your differences. Where did that come from?
Come from the soul of my heart, the soul of my mind, the soul of my existence and the beings that I work with around me.
The ability to transform into someone else and you're the only MC I've ever heard. I was just discussing this on a panel of hip hop people. You're the only, I mean, I stick up for you every chance I fucking get. You're the only MC I've ever heard of that I can put your album on, any album. Listen to it 20, 30 times, and I can still learn something from it, and everything can be interpreted.
Everything that I rap is futuristic. That means it's way ahead of what I'm telling my fans is something that they will have to live with every year. When it comes out, when my records come out, and they listen to them, if they listen to the words like you said, somehow a 50 Cent character have not been existed yet, but I've rapped about him before he came.
Yeah, you did.
And that's in any band, rock, or any artist.
What's your opinion?
I'm futuristic. I can see what's coming.
What's your opinion of people like Eminem, where Eminem obviously does have some skills?
I did a track with Eminem, and you write this and you quote this.
Okay.
I did a track with Eminem and Tarzana with, I think it was Sway.
Okay.
And he said he was a fan of mine, and he allowed me to hear 6 tracks before he got a deal with Dre. This is like a week before he got a deal with Dre.
Really?
He had asked me, you know, to rap with him on a song, and I did at Sway's house. After that, my cousin, Money D, had heard, he told me he heard all of his songs while I was in the booth doing my vocals, and he told me how Eminem had asked him to road manage him if he ever gets this deal that Dre's going to give him. We never heard of him. My Money D and myself never heard of him ever again.
Really?
He wound up going on to doing new stuff, which I don't understand. He's doing my style, and
he is. Thank you. That's another thing I wanted to get at. I think
he just took it in more. He got the money behind the labels to give him to visualize what he's talking about,
which was really
Money D told him to do that.
Oh man, it's so great.
Money D told him it. After he heard that, I couldn't believe what my cousin had told him.
And so after
me and my cousin Money D sat down, and he told me, he said, what did he say? He said, Keith, I had talked to Eminem, and I heard his stuff, and he told me how, you know, I should, like, I told him how he should visualize in his first video what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
When I seen the video, I know my cousin told him that, so he got no thanks on that. What? Never once, me being such a his biggest fan, he said, because he told me, he said, I don't bite what I say, and I tell what I say.
Mm-hmm.
Why hasn't he never come back to offer me a record deal?
No shit, man. That's bullshit.
You quote that.
I will quote that. I strongly agree. First of all, like,
because it contradicts the lie of what he says.
Oh yeah, definitely.
When he thanked a whole bunch of people that didn't give a fuck about him at all those music awards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do you boldly tell me in my face, I'm the greatest and best rap artist and writer you've ever been around in your life, and you can't believe you're in the same room with me, but you don't thank me?
That's bullshit, man. And I think that's been the way, because, I mean, you obviously know most of the people in the industry, right? I mean, you've been around.
I've rapped with a lot of people.
Right, and it seems like nobody...
give me credibility, thanks, or anything.
No, yeah, no thanks, no nothing, no fucking shout-outs, no, get, you know, asking you to be on tracks or anything.
Nope.
And
they're scared of me.
Is that why? Well, okay, here's the thing that everyone hears. You're difficult to work with. You're a hard guy to get along with. How about all that shit?
It's not true. They're just mad because I don't like that whack-ass rap.
See, I mean, yeah, I'm getting along with you fine, and I never, you know, people are like, watch out, you're going to have problems, blah, 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 and I'm like, I don't see why I would have a fucking problem. You know what I mean? You honestly are, to me, are the epitome of what hip-hop should be, and I thank you for everything you've given music. It's an art, and like you always say, you know, you got white kids all at your concert, you know, I'm a white kid with a Jewish last name, but I understand you're, you know... I understand where you're coming from. You know what I mean? And I get that it's so far ahead of the future that, I mean, do you think that once this being that is Reverend Tom or whatever leaves the fucking earth that people are going to actually give you the credibility that you deserve?
Mm-hmm. It's okay, though, because I'm going to still keep making records. I have my own label. I will keep pushing out records whether they like it or not.
And that's great.
I can put out 4 or 5 albums a year. I like to see Jay-Z try that.
That's another thing I was going to say is you put out more albums than anybody else do, and you take more risks. And you don't
repeat yourself. Because I go in different directions. I'm not scared.
And like fucking Miles Davis, you don't repeat yourself.
Yep.
You know, you do.
And none of my shit sounds the same.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. And a lot of people think, okay, well, that sounded different. You know, it wasn't what I liked about the last record, so I'm not going to like this record. And that's a bunch of bullshit. You know what I mean? It's like
some people can like it or don't like it. It's just about how different it is.
That's true. Was Matthew a direct assault against your experiences you had with the Black Elvis album?
No, when I did that album, I wanted to be doing something different. I wanted to do something that, you know, was better than Elvis. I wanted to do something that was like Lost Masters, was different than Matthew, you know?
I love Lost Masters, too. That's
right now, me and Kurt are working on a new album.
Kurt Matlin?
Yeah.
No shit. Cool.
And we just finished that album, and that album will be coming out real soon.
Under what name?
I can't tell you.
Ooh. That's cool. That's cool. I understand.
So me and Kurt are back together. We just finished that album.
You guys have resolved everything and shit, and you're on past that. It's beautiful. Did you, with the success you had with, well, whatever success you had with Dr. Octagon, what's your feelings towards, like, the Automator and Q-Bert?
Well, they're cool, but they are scared to work with me.
They're scared to work with you?
Yeah, they're scared to work with me.
Why is that?
They think that I'm not a person that they can work with. They think, like, you know, they go out and they take the credit for a lot of stuff I did, but...
Is it true that you wrote all the lyrics to the album in, like, one
day? Yeah. Nah, it was 3 days.
3 days, really?
Mm-hmm.
Does most of that shit come to you in stream of consciousness?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I did The Undertaker's in a day.
Really?
Well, 6 hours, actually.
And another thing, I've seen...
Matter of fact, not even 6 hours, 3 hours.
Really? Holy shit.
All 15 songs was done in 3 hours.
I've seen you live about 4 or 5 times. I've tasted some of your chicken and Little Hug juice drinks.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for those.
A little Capri drink.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. But you're the only MC, and there's another thing that I
like to feed my fans.
Yeah, well, yeah.
They pay their money. Why shouldn't I be able to do my shows and be able to feed my fans? They pay their money to come see me.
Yeah, they might as well get something, you know? They're getting an amazing show, you know? You're one of the only MCs also that... The three things that blow me away about you. You can understand every fucking word you say.
Mm-hmm.
Even live, which is hard to do with a hip-hop concert any day when you're working with Dex or anything like that. And you're one of the only MCs I've ever seen who will still freestyle on stage.
Mm.
You know, you don't see that much at all. You know what I mean?
Not at all.
And that's amazing that you still you're still doing that and showing the people that you can do it. I mean, if people offered to battle you or anything like in the...
Well, I don't take the battles too well because they'll lose.
I think you could kick anyone's ass, and I would love to see that somewhere.
Right.
I would love to see that somewhere. You've got to do more, man, and you've got to keep pushing your message because it's a beautiful thing. And people don't get you now, but I know they're gonna get you in the future. And you deserve it, man. You are.
Well, we're trying to do the Jimmy Kimmel show.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
As the Undertakers?
Yep.
That'd be cool. If that happens, I'll be very excited. I'll be very excited.
We're working with Scott Igoe over at the Jimmy Kimmel Show. they're working on it. We're hoping that they're gonna put this through.
They've
been trying with them for 2 months now. They actually had to go to my website just to. They think I had to mail them something. I was like, no, you go to this website I've given you. And everything they need is right there. When you go to it, you'll see it, and it'll be like, whoa.
Well, man, I've been hearing shit like coming up. You know, I've heard, you know, oh, you got to check out this tape, or you haven't heard this tape, and I've been trying to get everything I can get my hands on by you, but it hasn't been. And another thing, like my bro said, my bro is a huge hip hop enthusiast as well, and he said, you know, he's one of the only MCs that I could take the beats away, I could read that at a forensics meet or at, you know, a spoken word thing, and it would still carry as much weight as it does with a big beat behind it. You know what I mean? And that's,
well, I keep all my music like totally different because. Between the lyrics and everything that people have to offer, you know, I like to offer something back that is far greater and futuristic that people can relate to.
What MCs did you dig coming up?
Hold on 1 second, please.
Sure, man.
Yes, I'm sorry, my son.
What MCs did you dig when you were coming up? Who pushed you to do what you wanted to do and to take it out? I mean, even with Ultraman, you were way ahead of your time.
Oh, it'd be like Fantastic Four, Treacherous Three, Funky Four Plus One More, Bambada, and Soul Sonic Force, Mike and Dave, of the Crash Crew. I mean, it's endless. I could tell you for days people you've never even heard of.
Was there any, is there any big names out there that do give you props and try to help you out?
Say again?
Is there any big guys out there who are
gay guys?
No, big names that are you know, making, who are looked at as rap's fucking reigning champions who actually do support you and you know are supportive of what you do.
Well,
I know Ice-T's big into you. You know what I mean?
I just did 2 songs with Prodigy, so.
Oh, you did?
Yes, that's done already. Wait till you hear that.
Oh, that'll be cool.
I got a lot of shit coming out. You got a lot of shit coming out. You might not be able to catch up with it.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to catch up with it, man. It's gonna be well worth it. You should, I'm gonna send Jay, I don't know if you've seen a copy of our mag yet, but I think you might dig it. We're talking exactly, our philosophy is very much along your lines. And in our magazine, we combine everything from classical music to hip hop to funk to metal. It doesn't matter. It's all the same to us as long as it has meaning and it says fuck the corporate system and it has some power behind it. So, I mean, we've been looking to get you for forever, man. Is there you've done the main corporate label thing before. What's your opinion of staying independent and how you struggle through that kind of stuff? Do you have any advice for people? What, you know, how to keep control of their art and what they're doing? Because I know you didn't have a good experience.
Go independent. Don't let no one tell you how to write your music. Learn your choruses, your bridges, your bars, and also know your paperwork. If you don't know your paperwork first, don't even bother to get in this game because it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of artists get in this thinking that they're going to make millions and get paid.
Right.
You have to spend a lot of your own personal money to get where you want to get to in order to get where you want to be because it's a business.
Exactly. We've been coming up for a while now. We've been talking to the people at Larry Flint Publishing, and he might be picking us up and helping us out. So that's, I mean, that was a good way to go. And a lot of, here's another question people always ask you. You know, you obviously are the, you took Sex Rhymes where Ice-T left off and took it to a whole new level. Are you as...
Analog Brothers? Talking about the Analog Brothers?
Oh, yeah. Are you as freaky as you say you are?
Yes, I am.
Beautiful.
My fetish with women is I like dressing women up in lingerie, high heels, taking pictures. A lot of women are scared to approach me on the road. They're scared. I don't know why they're scared, but they shouldn't be scared to approach me. I have a lot of things for them.
Beautiful, man. Has any of those magazines ever approached you? Have you ever been approached by Hustler or Penthouse or anything?
No, they should, because if they did, I could take some of their pictures. I bring my own stuff for the women to dress up in, boots, lingerie. I got like some shit women really always like. I come with my own suitcase.
You come
when I meet a girl, she comes to my room, I have a suitcase and stuff ready for her to pick.
Beautiful. Is it as easy to get the ladies as it would seem?
Like, no. I mean,
are you having as crazy escapades as on Sex Style?
No, sometimes you have to put up the funds in order to make it happen, and I don't mind. Some women out there just need that kind of help.
Oh, I understand that. And there's nothing wrong with that.
I love strippers.
Do you spend a lot of time?
They're real people.
Oh, they are, definitely.
They're not like in the closet with their sexuality.
And they got a story to tell.
And their story's always being written.
Oh, that's totally true.
And they're always new ones coming out at 21. I love them.
Any favorite strip clubs?
Not really anywhere where they're nude.
I like that. I like that a lot.
I don't like it when they're wearing sometimes the tops and then they don't wear the bottoms and they wear the bottoms and then where they'll let the tops off and totally nude.
We're talking nude. So you're a big fan of porn too, I take it then.
Yes, I love porn.
Excellent. Any favorite movies that are right in your spot?
Max Hardcore, Buttmans, Jake Steed, or West Coast Videos.
Oh, okay, yeah. Damn, man, you got a... you are very easy to get along with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to hear that. And everyone, like you always say, you know, I'm not the fucking elephant man. No,
people think I am. They think, like, I'm a freak inside a cage, that they always want to, like, see what I'm doing next, or what's underneath my mask, or wig.
Do you get approached a lot and attacked a lot on the street?
Sometimes. Believe it or not, sometimes.
No, I believe it's true, man. That's got to be a rough thing to deal with.
But I still like not like a lot of the stars. I still go out and I shop. I'm not scared to come out. A lot of recording artists are scared to come out. They send somebody out to go get their burgers. And they don't come out of their hotel rooms and they send people to buy their clothes because they're just corny.
Amen.
They get too big that they can't even handle themselves. They gotta have like bodyguards, like the president.
What do you think about?
Like they can't handle a nigga walking up to them in the street,
say what's up.
Yeah, because they're afraid they might just pull out something and shoot them. They can't handle themselves, but they talk on their records that they can handle themselves.
What do you feel about that shit?
It's all a bunch of bullshit. Niggas need to just get in rings with gloves on it. Fuck it.
Screw the records, we don't even need them anymore.
Right, niggas, you really should take it to the ring with no gloves on.
Who would you like to see fight? What would be
it should be, it should be like a fight club situation, like rappers against rappers.
Fuck the battle.
That'll eliminate all that bad talking bullshit. That'll see who really is the man.
Yeah.
From girls to guys. One big rap
Fight Club.
I love that idea, man. I think that's what we need. We need
Musicians Fight Club. That's what we need.
No more shit talking. Especially
no more shit talking. Take it to the ring.
Especially
with no glove.
Music has just gone to shit in on any level. Whether you're into hip hop or you're into rock music, there's nothing with any soul out there. It's been sucked dry, years ago, and it seemed like you've been preaching this has been coming for years.
But yeah, you're not gonna see me sitting on the sidelines knitting a blanket.
Do you make not to get too personal, but do you make enough cash to survive solely on shows and records?
Of course.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Because a lot of people
I keep all
about.
My publishing. I keep all the show money that I get, and I put it back into the community. Like, I sometimes have a tendency to give some people that have organizations, like, the homeless. It's called American Homeless Organization. Sometimes I give them like about $2,000-$3,000 a year. It depends. What I'm saying? I have my little organization. Sometimes more or less like to give to the homeless people in the street. That's what I do. I'll come up with like a bag, a plastic bag full of clothes, of my old clothes that are still good, and I just give it to them.
Oh, that's great, man.
Sneakers and stuff like that that people be trying to get me to sell on eBay, stuff like that. I give it to the homeless.
That's a beautiful thing, man. That's a beautiful thing. You're the most...
A lot of people don't know. I did that for years.
Man, you're the most down-to-earth...
Everybody think I run down Sunset Boulevard or Hollywood or New York and just don't, like, really don't, really take care of shit, but I do. But what I want to say to you, though, is... Y'all really need to interview the funeral director, because without him, that album wouldn't have been done, and him and Money D wouldn't have been able to do that album. My cousin and him wouldn't have been able to do that album, because he actually did all the music for that album.
Really?
They've been giving me credit for that music. That was his project. That wasn't my project.
Oh, really? I know you did that one remix, right?
I did all of them.
Oh, really?
So you don't understand. I did all the lyrics, but he did all the music.
Right. But didn't you do a remix of Party in the Morgue on there?
Oh yeah, there's like five versions.
Right. You did one of the remixes, but he did all the music.
I did one remix, but there's like two people that do two different ones, and he did one, and then there's a guy named Havoc Razor that he met did another.
Well, I'm going to definitely hook up with Jay then and see if I can get the funeral director in on this too. That'd be awesome, because I really want to promote this album. And any time you got something to say too, man, that you want either published or whatever, we're starting to grow.
Yeah, I think you should interview the whole group. You shouldn't just focus on me. I'm not like John Lennon of the Beatles. It's everybody in the band is very, very, diverse in their own directions.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you got Al Berryu, better known as No Name. You got Kelly O as the Embalmer. They've all been doing stuff too for years. It's like, I'm not the only guy that's been in this business for like 25 years.
That's what it seems like. That's what Jay said about Activate, is that you just seem to get a whole bunch of people together that...
He allows artists to be who they are.
And
he doesn't
like
try to change them. He allowed them to be their own A&R.
And it seems like you guys are happy with it too, like where.
Yeah, it's all right. He just does his thing, but we move. We keep going. I keep moving fast. I don't wait for no label to put my shit out. If they don't put it out fast enough, I'll fuck their heads up and put my own shit out. That's why so many records come out, because a lot of labels I be on, they be bullshit, and I have to literally just go ahead and put an album out. Like, I have so much shit in my house that I could put out a lot of shit.
Well, man, we're a record label too. You ever want anything pressed, you come to me and I'll press a record for you. I don't care if it's shit you've had sitting there for years.
You must got the money, because it's the only way I'm going to put out anything I got. I got a lot of shit.
Well, what would it take?
I don't know. If you got tracks...
If I give you, and I'm fucking 100% serious on this, man. I play, I'm a jazz funk musician, MC myself. I play upright bass, electric bass, organ, accordion, a whole bunch of different shit.
Wow.
I'm all hooked up with like the, a bunch of weird guys who play cello and accordion and organ and all.
Wow. You know,
we've been wanting to, and I'm serious about this. I wanted to make an album of beats for you.
You ever did a bluegrass album?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah. I've done bluegrass.
You should send me some stuff. I'm thinking about doing some bluegrass shit.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. If I send you some tracks of weird shit, can I send it to Jay and make sure it gets to you?
No, you send it to this address.
Hit me.
1402.
Uh-huh.
New York Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn, New York.
Mm-hmm.
11210.
11210.
Apartment 5C.
5C.
You're going to send it to my cousin's house.
Cool. Should I address it to anyone on top?
You're going
to
put, Cheeks Care of Roberts.
Cheeks?
C-H-E-K-S.
Care of Roberts.
Roberts, R-O-B-E-R-T-S.
Oh, Roberts.
Make it UPS. This way, we'll able to get it.
Well, man, I'll definitely possible. Send that out to you. If you are serious about this, I mean, I can...
if you got your own label, I got another label that will probably be interested in collaborating with your label. Y'all will figure out how to pay me to put my lyrics on it. It won't be like that much, $1,500 a song. I'll be able to do it. If you want to do an EP, that's even better for y'all. You and the label could work it out. Then we could do this.
Keith, you're right on my alley, dude. This has been...
Because that's something I've not done yet.
Well, you have for Distro. Well, that's because I wanted to...
A soulful bluegrass album.
I want to do like a soulful, spooky bluegrass album.
Like, anything works for me. I got to hear the music.
Oh, I'll get it to you, man. What distribution company do you have?
I can't tell you right now, but it's a very prominent company. You send that stuff to me if I like it, and I send it to another label, then they will tell me what to do.
Cool, man. Very cool.
Well, it's a very definite and prominent deal, I'm telling you.
Is there
between you, myself, that's it.
That's beautiful, man. Is there
not between Jay? Yeah, have you ever got any shows or anything you want to come up for myself or the Undertakers?
Yeah.
All you have to do is just call this number, 718.
All right.
940.
Right.
7165.
7165.
That's Deal Finders. That's the office of Deal Finders International.
Okay, and just leave a message.
They take care of a lot of business, honey.
And just leave a message.
Well, for the group and every Jackie Jacks, for everybody.
What would it take to get you or the Undertakers?
To do a show?
Yeah.
I don't know. It takes a lot of money, I tell you that. It's hard for us to get all together.
Oh, okay. Well, how about you?
Not a problem.
Like, what? I'm just ballparking.
You tell me what budget you working with, and then I'll have somebody call you. You call Deal Finders. You got any figures? Call Deal Finders. I can't tell you that.
Cool. I got you, man. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to get and if I want to get in contact with you, is that the best way to do it? Just call Deal Finders? Or do you have an email or anything to get reached at?
Nah, emails you have to send to my cousin. That's D-E-R-E-K.
D-E-R-E-K.
R-O.
Uh-huh.
B-E-R-T-S.
All right.
2003
at AOL.com. Awesome, man. I'll get some shit out right away. Well, I'll get you.
You just make it attention, Keith.
Awesome, man. I will get that in the mail as soon as possible. We were gonna work on. We started working on something for the Party in the Morgue track.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I can maybe bypass that and just send you some beats, mm-hmm. I'm gonna send some shit to you.
If you want
to
send an MP3 style at AOL, you can do that.
Okay.
At that website I just heard, if it's better for you.
Do you have you ever heard of MC Paul Barman?
Who?
MC Paul Barman.
No.
The weird Jewish white guy that Prince Paul put out.
No, I haven't.
You might like him. I did an interview with him, and he reminds me of you in a totally strange way, but he cites you as one of his biggest influences, and he's an underground guy.
That's good, because a lot of guys don't have to be so much influenced by it. They're actually being themselves and don't realize it. they're like myself. They're just coming out doing them, doing them.
Shit.
Mm-hmm.
Over to you guys and let you check that out and see what you think. And yeah, if you want to,
before you print anything else, I suggest you interview the other band members.
Okay.
You need to do that because the album's about to be released and you need to get everybody.
Right. I'll email Jay and get on that for Monday. I'll see if I can. Mm-hmm. Should the funeral director be pretty easy to hook up with?
Yeah, everybody's pretty much easy to get in touch with.
Okay, cool. If I can get a few minutes of everybody's time, that would be awesome, man.
Mm.
That would be awesome. Well, anyway, I just, man, I want to thank you for taking this time out. It means a lot to me, man.
Yeah, cool.
Honestly, you are my favorite MC ever, and I'll do anything to support you, man.
So you got a computer now, right?
Yep.
Go on to that website I've given you of mine.
All right, hang on 1 second.
That's my European website. That gives you all the information and updates. Run by my boy Rodney Pete. Rodney Pete. You got the website correct, right?
Yep. It's coming up.
Oh, you typing it up now?
Oh, I got it up.
Okay, go to albums.
Holy shit. I got Kitchen. I didn't know there was two. Oh, that's European release.
There's two different versions. That means the acapellas is picking any different music.
Oh, that's the one I want, man. Can you order shit off of here?
I don't know. I don't have a clue. I've never ever. I have no clue.
Oh, man. Because I've been looking for that album you did with Godfather Don forever.
I got like about a couple of DVDs coming out.
Really?
One with me and Kurt. One with just all my takes of all my shows, and another one coming out on the Octagon. It's going to be attached to all my songs. All the DVDs from now on are going to have DVDs attached to my albums.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's what Chuck D's talking about doing too. He said, "Why, give people multimedia, man. That's what they want. We're living in that kind of age now. You know what I mean?"
Yeah, people want to visualize where it's here.
And the Party in the Morgue video is great, by the way.
Thanks.
It's great. It's absolutely great. I don't think a lot of people are going to get, you know, they just don't get your
So you see all those albums that's there, don't you?
Oh, yeah, man.
If you count them, it should be about 30.
Yep, there's 30. Live? Well, it was live tapes or what? Holy shit.
Some are, some aren't.
Oh my God.
And a lot of rappers don't even know these albums.
No, I'm sure they don't, man.
Some of them are singles, but a lot of them are albums.
You know what's really weird too, Keith, is a lot of the we're putting out this drummer compilation of everybody. We got everyone from funk drummers to, I know, Clyde Stubblefield, James Brown's drummer. And,
you should tell Jay to let you put that Undertaker's on there. What is that song? What are the songs?
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah, we're putting out a whole bunch of different drum tracks and stuff like that. And believe it or not, all these weird avant-garde jazz guys and shit love you. They cite you as an influence left and right, man. The avant-garde jazz crowd thinks you're fucking mm-hmm. genius, which is, you know, just weird. It's like, you know, I wish you could win a street audience. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes. Look, I have to end this call right now.
That's cool, man. I'll get that stuff out to you right away. And thanks again for your time, Keith. I really appreciate it, man.
Excellent.
All right, we'll be in touch soon.
I look forward to seeing that article in the magazine.
You'll like it, brother.
Okay.
Adios, man.
Adios.
All right, we're just going to give you 5 seconds to think about what you just heard. Yeah, that was all real. That was all real. That was an interview with Cool Keith.
Who?
I mean, the Reverend Tom. I mean, Cool Keith. I mean, some guy. But Keith is definitely the most eccentric voice ever in hip-hop. He's been at it for years with the Ultramagnetic MCs and going solo and doing Sextile, Dr. Octagon and Dr. Doom and the Diesel Truckers and the Undertakers and every other thing he's done under the sun. And now I'm reading stuff talking about how he's going to quit the rap game, which I hope is some, like, crazy Keith mindfuck that he's just trying to get everyone excited about him again or something. Yeah,
just the name of his next album is going to be I'm Quitting the Rap Game.
Yeah, I'm quitting the rap game. Fuck all y'all. Or something. But I suggest you also check out Ice-T did that documentary, The Art of Rap, which is awesome. He's got interviews with some of the greatest MCs that have ever lived, and they all freestyle for him and talk about how they write about lyrics and where they get their ideas from and who their influences were, and it's all done a cappella. It's really awesome. But he interviews Keith in a crazy diner, and Keith is just scribbling lyrics like crazy. But the man is unbelievable. I'd have to say that pound for pound, he's the most interesting rapper there has ever been. I don't know who can top him with lyrical gymnastics. He can do pretty much any style. Some people say it just sounds like he's making up stuff off the top of his head, but he's like a beat poet blended with, again, like Sunrise to jazz, George Clinton is to funk, Cool Keith is to hip hop. Like, once you understand that it doesn't have to make any sense, it's better than everything else. And I don't think he's ever gotten the credit he deserves. He's right that Outkast did rip off a lot of his ideas. He was the first rapper dressing up like superheroes and coming up with alter egos that were way, way beyond anything anyone had done before. So Keith, if you ever listen to this, know that we love you and we want you to have the greatest career ever and to go down in history as the world's most amazing MC.
I want to have him over.
I would have Cool Keith, if you would like to come over for food, we will cook for you. Try to get you some girls. Oh, that's the other thing. Let's talk about his girls. He talked about a rap fight club. He talked about harvesting bodies. Then he talks about how he treats the ladies. He's got suitcase with lingerie and heels, and he's ready to go. He loves the strippers because strippers are real people. He's totally right.
Absolutely.
When he gives money to the homeless.
And strippers.
He gives strippers money too, to help supports them.
The homeless and single mothers.
All across the nation. No, seriously, Keith, you are the best, and I can't thank him enough for doing that interview with me. I would love to have him over just to talk. Oh, and he wants to do a bluegrass album, so yeah, let's send him some tracks.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't heard one come out in that time, so we're
probably... How about like some kind of weird sex rhyme album combined with country bluegrass?
The banjo sex rhyme?
Backwoods.
Joint.
Back door.
You think he's the one who...
Barn door Keith and something. So I think he'll come up with something. He's a genius. But thank you for listening. I don't think we need to play 100 Pockets track at the end of this because that was just so awesome. But you've been listening to the 100 Pockets podcast. Please write us. Let us know you're listening. We should be getting millions of hits after putting that interview up, right?
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. I would listen to it to myself. Spread it around to your friends. No one has an interview with Cool Keith like that.
I've listened to it 3 times.
I've listened to it more than that. And as the years go by, it grows on me, the wisdom, knowledge, and perversion that are involved in that. But email us. Or me, at Kurt@100PocketsRecords.com. That's K-U-R-T at 100, spelled out, PocketsRecords.com. Check out our website, 100PocketsRecords.com. We've got a bunch of interesting stuff coming out over the next 6 months or so. 4 or 5 albums are about to drop. R.A. Chersky's album, Scenes from the Zephyr. We got Christina Corton. We got Josh Meese and Chris Hoffman all slated to come out with new records soon. So thank you for listening. Big ups to Cool Keith. And I feel happy after this one. I felt good about that interview.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I don't have to bullshit or lie to Keith.
No.
I went on alter ego style, and we're going back and forth like two old ladies chatting about space aliens and stealing bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the comfort that you get from something like that. Anyway, Kurt and Luke signing out.
Out.